and with her, and I'm like, I realize that you mean you're alone this much, and you know, that's all coaches' wives and kids, and so it was good to, you know, you need some balance in this job, and that's players and coaches, but there's some coaches on our staff that their families aren't here yet, and they're back home, and one, you know, there's some in Tampa, there's some in Indianapolis, and that's the first time they've got a chance to go home and see their kids, and that's really important in this business, that the family life is strong and held together, and I just think it carries over into our coaching.
So can you see in the eyes of those guys and some of the players that you got back today that there was a sigh, a stop, a chance to breathe a little bit, and then come back and be refreshed, focused?
I showed up in the meetings, showed up on the practice field. We had a good practice today. They had 4 days off. Typically this Monday is not a real crisp, sharp practice. Guys don't go home and, you know, train like they do in the off season. I'd hope that they did something. I didn't want them to go home and sit on the couch and eat chips and, you know, drink soda pop the whole time. But it looks like that they took care of themselves. We had no off the field problems, which is you're always concerned about when they have a long stretch of time away. And we have a good football team in that locker room. We have great leadership, and it showed up that the way they came back in here focused.
You know, I think probably the folks who are listening who took the week off as well from watching their team are hoping that you're going to say that they are eager, that they're ready, that they're energetic, that they can't wait. I mean, it's Monday, right? But did you see some of that, signs that guys are ready to go back and play?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, especially in the weight room when they came in here at 6:30 in the morning and got right into it. And the meetings were very focused with what we were trying to get done. We were showing we introduced Oakland, not to the point we normally do on a Wednesday, but just a brief introduction of Oakland. Really still talked about doing the little things, fundamentals and attention to detail, things that we saw that we need to improve on from the first 5 weeks. We really spent a lot of time as coaches going back and doing a self-scout of ourselves, and we wanted to address the things that we have to get better at, things we can't do and think we're going to win. And that was still the emphasis this week, as it was last week when we had those two practices.
Before we move on to talk about the Raiders and what you did to prepare last week, how about the overall bye week experience? You've been around this league a long time. The bye has now for quite a while as well. And you'll always see in a media guide release, you know, the Jags record is so-and-so coming out of the bye. Do you put any stock in that? How do you take a team? Do you think that they come out naturally slow after the week? Because as you mentioned, they don't do all of the training at home. What's your thought on getting ready to play the week immediately following the bye? And I'm sorry for asking a paragraph instead of a sentence.
No, I mean, it's kind of like our trip to Oakland. We're going to go out 2 days early, and people are like, well, is that an advantage? Well, I've done both. I've gone out 2 days early. I've gone out the day before, and I've won both ways, and I've lost both ways. So I guess what I'm saying with this bye week thing is we wanted them to come back in here today and get a good, hard physical practice, get a good sweat going, see where they were. So when we came back in Wednesday like a normal week, it's going to be meetings as we have been. And I think it'll get back into normalcy as quick as we can and hopefully carry into a good week out in Oakland.
Has it ever been your experience, you know, the week following a bye, whether you're the head coach or the offensive coordinator, that it takes a series or a quarter for a team that's been off a week to get some rhythm going? Or can you avoid that with the great practice?
No, I think you can avoid that. You know, we started today, we got done stretch, and we went right into a team segment and put a lot of stress on them right away. I mean, without messing around for having that much time off, we worked both sides offensively and defensively in a pretty good segment just to go, hey, we're not messing around. We are back at it, and this is, this is the first day of a prep for the week that we're going to hopefully carry on Wednesday.
And you're going out on Friday, and that is primarily to get the body adjusted or, you know, to the time, or is it a chance for you to get through the jet lag that comes with, you know, flying almost 6 hours?
It does. Well, it's both. We're trying to get adjusted to the time. We're trying to get our guys' bodies. The dehydration is dramatic in an airplane. I know people don't understand, but that's 6 hours, and we would like our guys to drink at least one, you know, bottled water, or preferably one Gatorade, or even or Pedialyte, even that to replenish what they're losing on that airplane. You really don't feel it.
One the whole flight?
One per hour.
Okay.
One per hour. So no matter where we fly, we are constantly going up and down the
passing out drinks.
Passing out drinks, because you just don't know how dehydrated you get until you get there. And then and really, like I answered today in the press conference, we're going to go out 2 days early, and I'm really basing it on my Atlanta experience. The 4 years I was in Atlanta, we had a very good success rate going out to the West Coast, and we went out 2 days early, and I'm going to just see where it goes. I'm going to see how our guys handle it, but I think it'll be a it'll be good for us to get out there early and get acclimated.
All right, folks, you're listening to the Mike Mularkey Show, and you can join my partner Jeff Loggeman right after this program for Jaguars All Access on CBS 47 starting tonight at 7. And the special guest is Josh Scobie, our international ambassador who has returned from London. We'll take a break. Come back more after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, the Jaguars Rewards Program is now better than ever. Season ticket owners get all the great premium benefits like Teal Deals and the Gate Gas Redemption Program, but it's now open to all Jaguars fans. Get great discounts, cash back, and register to win a trip to the Super Bowl. Visit Jaguars.com and click on the Jaguars Rewards logo to start earning your rewards today. Welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. Brian Sexton with the Jaguars head coach. You can join us at Jags Voice on Twitter if you would like to register your thoughts and your questions. Coach, let's go back to last week. Self-scouting. I know that when we were on the show a week ago, you said that was the process that you were involved in. Tell us, you know, what you can about what the self-scouting told you and how it translated to the practice field.
Well, we almost like a end of the season self-scout. We look at every play at of in the game, and then at every player of that play. And what we're looking for is, are we putting our players in a position to have success on that play? Or is the guy, the opponent, that much better than our player and they just won? Or is their scheme better than our scheme? Was it the call? Was it our call compared to their call? There's a lot of things we look at it, and then we break it down into situations with third down, you know, red zone, short yardage, goal line, your 4 minute, everything that's a situational category, we go and really look at that and see what we can improve on. And then we know now, you know, there's some things we gotta do better. Some are very, very obvious. You know, we had 18 drops in five games. It's hard to sustain a drive. It's hard to convert third downs. It's hard to get into a rhythm when you're calling plays when you get drop balls. And you know, our players know they can't drop balls.
Right.
But 18 is just way too many.
Well, and the number, I mean, even if you factor out that's about three per game, a little more than three per game, you can't figure out the situation just sitting here in your head and where they came and how the momentum was.
Right. It may change. There's something that may change in the game because of that. And, you know, there's some others that could have been great catches that we'd like to make. We're seeing it happen on the other side of the ball, and we're just not happening on our side of the ball. And those are some of the things we making the plays that are there. We got to do that too. But there's a number of things that we found out about ourselves, and we're going to address it. We already have with our players. That was one thing we did today, and hopefully that's going to help us when we get into this week's game plan.
Just curious, Coach, how many of those things did you already really know? I mean, were some of them a revelation to you?
Some we knew, but some we didn't really realize how, you know, either good or bad they were.
Right.
Okay. Some things we already knew. But, okay. You know, there's some things we definitely have got to improve on. And, you know, one of the big things is being able to finish games, which we really have not. We haven't put a complete game together. I mean, and you know, everybody's recognized that. We finished a game in Indy, you know, down to the last second, but we've got these last couple games that we had here at home. We were in the game up until, you know, midway through the third quarter, and then just fell apart. And we've got to learn, and that is a process. We've got to learn how to maintain where we're at, stay positive in adverse situations. Again, I've said it before: put our opponent in a frustrated situation compared to us getting in that, and you know. It's in a lot of those things are you know, things we have to learn how to do.
You know, this is going to sound like a question that I might ask a high school coach, so I apologize in advance for the simplicity. But is there a confidence issue? Do you have to rebuild some of that, you know, with the late game loss against the Bears? I mean, is there some of that where you've got to get guys back and get their heads focused and square? I mean, confidence may not be the right word, but it was one I was asked last week. Do they lack confidence?
Well, it's easy to lose. I mean, when things happen like that, especially at the moment, it's hard to to not. I mean, it's hard to stay positive, and, that's something that's important. The really good teams in those situations, they don't flinch. They don't look at the – all they're doing is worrying about their performance and not the scoreboard. And that's whether they're ahead or behind. They're just worried about the play they're about to execute. And it's about performing and not worrying about looking up at that scoreboard at any time.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Joe's going to just his eyes are going to roll because I'm going to bring a baseball reference into this. And it's a long-standing joke here. But there's been seven Game 7 come-from-behind wins in Major League Baseball's divisional series in the last 6 years. I heard this morning. And the Cardinals, the St. Louis Cardinals, have three of those. And obviously they won down 6-0 last week. And so I was listening to one of their players talk about, and no, Joe, I don't know the name, talk about how the mentality. And they all said, you know what, there's no pressure in their dugout. There is no one that's looking around. You don't see any nervousness. Guys aren't putting rally caps on or anything. They just know, okay, we're here now, bottom of the ninth inning, we're trailing, in and over.
Right.
We've done it before.
Right.
And they did it in big fashion the other night. So, I mean,
no, that helps.
And that's something that is.
And you've got to win some of those games. And I think we've got to win some of those games. So when we get into that situation, you think about it, we did in Indy. We came very close in Minnesota.
Right.
I mean, coming back, I thought we went into that very confident. Nobody was flinching there. We had scored in our 2-minute drills. Even in the preseason to win games against the Giants and the Saints. And we had that kind of mentality. That's one thing, again, that we addressed about the no flinching. No, you can't just cave in because of something bad, one thing bad to happen. And remaining positive is very important because doubt is a bad thing. And as soon as that creeps into you, a lot more negativity is going to happen to you.
All right, we need a break. We'll come back more on last week with the Jaguars, and then we'll talk about the Oakland Raiders, this week's opponent at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. And yes, it is on a Sunday. Thankfully, it is not moving to Monday night. Back with the head coach after this on Jaguars Radio. Well, at Sonny's, you get a huge helping of baby back ribs, plus two of your favorite sidekicks and garlic bread or cornbread, all for only $12.99. All you can eat, just $4 more. Sonny's is the first name in barbecue. Coach, we talked a little bit about the mentality going into your week of practice. Forget going in, coming out. How was your 2 days with the guys? Because it was only two, right?
Right, it was good. It was good because we needed to just take a step back and focus on the little things. We got a lot of fundamental work, things that you start in OTAs and you carry through in training camp that you can't do during the season because of your time restrictions, and you're really working on scheme. And we got to maintain what we're doing in regards to our techniques, especially when our pads come off here. You know, in the probably the next 6 weeks, we got to really be conscious of how we do things in practice.
Got a question over Twitter from John. He wants to know why Cecil Shorts hasn't gotten more time sooner, because he likes him and thinks he's a really good player. And Blaine Gabbert seems to trust him.
Well, right now, you know, with the injury to Laurent, he's going to step in there at our ex-wide receiver and start if Laurent's not capable of being in there. But, again, he's been in there on certain personnel groupings. We realize he's made some big plays for us, and that will continue to happen because we do. He's been our playmaker. There's no question about it.
Do you still see a guy from Mount Union, a guy who needs polish, a guy who is making the transition from Division III to the NFL?
He's still taking steps to see that. He still needs some work. But one thing about Cecil, he wants to do it right. It is so important to him. And he's one of those guys on the sideline, no matter what the situation is, up, down, the bad thing that happened in Chicago where we let it get out of control in that fourth quarter, he is never – phased by it. He is one of these guys that's not flinching. He is just, let me go out and perform. Let me help this team try to win. I know he's never looked at the scoreboard.
Right.
And that's the way he is in practice. And I think Coach Jerry Sullivan has done a great job with him. He loves coaching. He loves learning. And
well, he's the son of a coach.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Clearly, yeah, that makes a lot of difference.
So I think he is definitely on an upward rise. And
Well, when you look at that. That's a star, or let's forget star because he's a young guy. But that's a jar on the shelf. I mean, that's a guy that really has a lot of upward potential.
Right.
He's a big guy too, and he runs well, doesn't he?
He runs very well. I mean, you saw we got over the top with him a couple times. We'd like to have a couple of those plays where he's catching those things on the run. But we got a young, you know, we basically have a real young receiving group.
You bet.
And with some talent there that we've got to just develop, and Jerry's working to do that, and it's going to show. You know, we're seeing bits and pieces of it, but that's one area we definitely got to get improvement on, as our receiver.
Since we're there, you didn't get wins in the two games, but you got more from Justin Blackmon, about 4 catches and 6 catches in those games against the Bengals and the Bears. What do you see from him coming out of the bye week, Coach?
He's trying to get better. Really, and I'm seeing it during the week of practice before the games. He's coming with a good mentality, a good approach. He's trying to do the things we want him to do, and it's showing up on the games. But we still need to get him more active. You know, he's had a couple drops too, and you know, he had a chance to make a great play on a go route that Blaine threw up there for him, and those are the kind of plays we'd like to see him make.
You know, and I can go back historically, and not that it does any good, but you can find guys who have had big starts and guys who have had slow starts. In both cases, guys have become Pro Bowl, All-Pro receivers. That's just the learning curve for a receiver, right?
There is a learning curve. There's differences for all players at all positions. Some guys can step right in and they're stars immediately. That's you see that in quarterback play. You see that in wide receiver play. And you know, I'm not going to say he's starting. He has a long way to go.
Right.
But he is learning the process. It's different here. This is a different speed from where he came from. And it's just he's got a little ways to go, and I know he'd like to be that way. He's very competitive. That's the one thing about him. I like when he lines up and he looks at the guy across from him and he doesn't think that guy can cover him. That's good.
Yeah, that really is good. And one more thought on the passing game. How long does it take for that rhythm that we see, since we're talking about Atlanta, between Roddy White and Matt Ryan to start to evolve? Now, we're talking about special players, but you know, obviously they've been practicing for a couple of years together, and they seem to know what the other one is going to do. That isn't something that would seem to come, you know, in a span of weeks. It would seem that would be months and even seasons.
That doesn't happen overnight. It can happen quicker than you think, and a lot of that has to do with the players doing some things on their own, even in the off season, working that timing. And I know Matt and Roddy and those guys, Roddy and Harry Douglas and Julio, they do a lot of things in the off season to work that timing. And they've been in the same offense now for 5 years. Up there, and you can tell. It's just there's certain things they already know, like what somebody's going to do before he does it. And, you know, you got Tony Gonzalez is the same way. We're trying to work into that way. I wish I could forecast when that's going to happen, but it does take some time.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. At Jags Voice, if you'd like to join us on Twitter, we have hit the bottom of the hour. And fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We're back with the head coach after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck, and it fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. They're a proud sponsor of the Jaguars. Headed to Oakland on Friday to get acclimated, Coach, and then the Raiders pop up. And the thing that strikes me the most about them is their quarterback's coming off a 350-yard passing game.
Against a pretty good defense.
Carson Palmer, sure.
Yeah. they played well yesterday in Atlanta. I mean, they led most of the game. Their defense did pretty well, you know, stopping Atlanta's run game. So I was pretty impressed with them with what they did. They led the majority of the game until, you know, they kick a 55-yard field goal with a second left in the game. But Carson had a good game.
When you look at this team, and I don't know how much you've seen in the last few years because I don't know how many times Atlanta played Oakland, but do they look dramatically different with a new head coach in Dennis Allen? And they have a new general manager, obviously, as well. Do they look like a team that does things differently?
Well, their schemes are different. I can say that they are different in that matter.
Right.
And it's been a while since I've played these guys, but you know, they've got some game wreckers on this team too. We got to take care of, especially up front, their defensive line with Richard Seymour leading the way. You know, we've got to handle him. But no, they had 3 turnovers. They forced Matt Ryan, one on a just a hellacious hit on Matt. interception, but he threw three interceptions in the first half, and that's not like Matt. So I know they were getting pressure to him.
Well, yeah, you look at those guys up front. I mean, everyone knows Tommy Richard Kelly. Seymour. But Tommy Kelly is an enormous guy. I mean, 6'6", 300 is what they listed at. But, I mean, he's got long arms and big, broad shoulders, and he's a bear.
Right, right. We're going to have to handle these guys up front. And the thing about them is they're very good against the run game. And, you know, that's one thing we kind of pride ourselves in, and we got to get back into that that mode of being able to run the football. And these guys did a good job against Atlanta.
You know, I would guess that having these guys now for a couple of weeks in a row and the bye week would allow that rhythm to come back in the run blocking game. Is that?
Well, we worked on it. We worked on the little things in the run game. You know, there's in having our line together now for a couple of weeks has certainly helped the communication part of it. Having Evan back, Cam back. I mean, we really haven't been together that long except for the last few weeks. So having those guys back, and you could tell it's getting better. We had a 2-minute drill, an extensive 2-minute drill last week in the Wednesday practice before we broke, and the protection was outstanding by those guys. But you could tell now it's starting to kind of come together for them.
You know, overall, not just with the offensive line, can you sense that the team is getting healthier? I mean, obviously you're never going to be 100% during the course of an NFL season, but you've had a couple of guys with some nagging injuries, Coach. Do you sense that those are not going to be as much of a factor?
I think this may be the healthiest we've been since, midway through training camp. I mean, we've had a lot of foot injuries, whether it's been the foot, the ankle, toes, whatever it's been. We've had a lot. I can't tell you why, but we've had a lot of guys have those injuries, and we've had defensive linemen have those injuries. So to have Austin Lane back has been good. There's a trickle-down effect. When you lose those defensive ends, now your other DNs are playing more reps. You can't have fresh guys out there. You got Tyson Alualu that's going out there now to play defensive end because you just don't have the numbers of guys. And so, we're looking at hopefully getting Daryl Smith back. But, you know, now with Daryl Smith out, Kyle Bosworth is forced into a starting role, and his forte, and he's very good at it, is special teams. But you can't play him on special teams because of how much time he's playing on defense. So there's just – with the number of injuries that we had, we had some other areas that were affected, not just that sole position. And so we're getting – George Selvey is expected back this week, another defensive end that's been out, you know, the whole season. That will help in a lot of areas.
You might have to actually make a choice about putting some defensive linemen down for a Sunday healthy.
Yeah, you really, I'll be honest with you,
you haven't been able to do that.
The inactive players for Sunday has not been a hard decision. I mean, basically the first couple of weeks it was seven injured guys.
Yeah. There's no strategy.
There's not a lot of strategy going there. So it's a nice problem if we can get into worrying about what areas of the team we got to short change.
You mentioned the name that Jaguars fans are longing to hear, and that's Daryl Smith. Has been out, obviously, since the start of camp. Where is he? If there's a chance that he comes back, I mean, how far along in the process is he, Coach?
Well, we're trying to be very smart with him because this is the longest he's ever missed in his career. I mean, he's missed more time.
He'd only ever missed four games.
In his career. Yeah. So, and he has missed, I mean, for a lot of reasons, not just for his play, but for what he does in that locker room. It's just I know guys feel like they're not the leaders that they are when they're injured. They feel like I'm not part of it, but he is an important cog on this team, especially on this defense. And so today we kind of introduced him back into the scheme. A lot of it's a confidence thing, I think, for him. You know, when you've had an injury like this has made you miss this many games, you have to gain confidence back in yourself that you can go out and do it 100%.
Right.
So it's good we had a Monday practice. We had an extra day, and we'll gradually get him a little more each day this week, and we'll see where he's at on Friday.
And obviously, he's got to work his way back into football shape too. That's
I think he's been trying to do that. We've had him in the pool, the bike. We've been doing things that are not going to do anything to extend his injury. So he's in pretty good shape. He's pretty conscious of that. He's a pro.
Yeah, you'd love to see 52 back on the field.
A lot of people would.
One of the most underrated players in the National Football League.
When we played the Jaguars last year when I was with Atlanta, he was. We always say there's game wreckers, guys that we have to be aware of, guys that can change the outcome of the game, and Daryl was one of those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're due for a break. Let's take it now. More with the head coach, at Jags Voice, if you'd like to join us via Twitter. Folks, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further. than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville location, Stein Mart. More fashion, less price. And more with head coach Mike Mularkey after this on Jaguars Radio. Well, you can be driving a brand new Kia Optima by registering to win Cons Kia. Stop by your Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win. Brian Sexton back with the head coach of the Jaguars, Mike Mularkey, here on the Mike Mularkey Show. To Oakland, let's talk a little bit, Coach, about your running backs. Obviously, Maurice is capable of big things. The last couple of weeks, he's not gotten it going, and we've been talking about the running game. Where does Rashad Jennings now fit in here? We talked about him all August as a guy. Wow, look at him. He's won the chance to be the starter. Maurice is coming, and then he gets hurt, and you know we know where it is. What's a good rotation for those running backs?
Well, I think we got to get him on the field. We definitely have to do that because he is a guy that can do special things for you, and he has shown that in the preseason. He's done that when he was healthy last year prior to the injury. And, you know, there's not a big drop-off once Maurice – I mean, and I think it's good for Maurice too because Maurice is going to get a lot of carries this year, and we want to keep him at a high level health-wise. And, you know, I just think it – you know, without saying this is the rotation, there's a time based on the series, based on – the game, the flow of the game of when Rashad needs to get in there and take a series or two or more, or even a third down back.
Yeah. Well, it was against these Raiders 2 years ago, 2010 season, where he took a handoff on third down and short, third and two or three, and started left, just looked like he was going for the marker to get the first down, and then all of a sudden he saw the hole, and he cut it back against the grain and went 74 yards for a touchdown. And that's when I remember thinking, okay, well, he's not Fred Taylor, I get that, but to have a change of pace back, that can batter a defense, right. That really made it gave me a chance to see what Jennings could mean to this team.
Yeah, and I've saw that play, so I know what he's capable of doing, and I think he's back to full strength. You know, he had that injury too,
sure,
from the Minnesota game, so you know he's another guy we missed when he was down, and so I think we'll get to see him more and more as the season wears on.
Well, and you look at another guy, and I know he's primarily special teams, but Montel Owens is a guy that you've used and deployed there too. So it's not just Maurice and Rashad. I mean, you've got some options that you can work with your running game when things start going well.
And we do, and Montel is a very capable runner, but I know why Montel's been in the Pro Bowl for a special teams play. He is a force to be reckoned with. I know that he is on everybody's projector on Wednesday mornings when they're talking about who do we have to stop, who's a game wrecker special teams wise. Montel Owens is right. That guy for our football team, and he just keeps showing up, and he's a lot like he's like Greg Jones and Darryl Smith. He doesn't say a whole lot. They are true professionals, go out and do their job, and Montel is a great leader by example for what he does for our special teams.
Could you have a locker room full of guys who lead by example and people that don't necessarily stand there and, you know, pound their fist and have something to say, or do you need a couple guys that can do that too?
I think if it's real, I mean, if that's their personality, I mean, if they're doing it because he's being told to do it, then it's I think the players read right through that. You know, we don't have a Ray Lewis in our locker room.
Not many teams do.
Not many teams do. But I know, you know, looking at him, that him being injured, that will have a huge influence on that team because of the way he is on the sideline, the way he is on the field. Even, you know, I think he's in his 17th year.
He is.
We don't have that kind of guy. You know,
was that kind of guy in Atlanta?
You know, Matt was a big. Matt was knew when to go up and down, even on the defensive side. He needed to, you know, get their side charged up, he could do that.
Okay.
Yeah, he just had a good feel for that. And again, Matt's older. That's the way he was. But, I mean, not a rah-rah type of guy,
no.
But just knew when to, hey, go over to the defense, just had a three and out and congratulate those guys. And Blaine's trying to learn how
sure.
to do that, and that's something Blaine's – I've seen him do that.
Well, and I don't mean to make the comparison, although it seems like it, between Blaine and Matt. It's important to point out, guys are different.
No, they're different. They're definitely different.
Very different guys.
And I hate to be asked about comparing the two because they're not the same.
Right.
Each guy, they're different circumstances of how they got to where they're at and where they're at in their careers right now. So it's not the same.
Right.
I just happen to be around Matt for
able to point it out.
Yeah, his first 4 years, right?
All right, we need a break. We'll take it now. More to come with the head coach. You're listening to the Mike Mularkey Show here on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back. Brian Sexton along with the head coach. A week in front of us here as the Jaguars get set to go to the West Coast and play. And, Coach, you know, it may just be me. It may be parity in the National Football League. But when you look at the AFC, not even the NFC, but the AFC, and you see how many teams are 3-3 or below, right? I mean, you've got Denver and San Diego playing tonight. And San Diego is 3-2, and Denver is 2-3. Theoretically, if Denver wins tonight, you could have 13 of the teams in the AFC at 3-3 or worse.
Yes.
And only two teams with winning records. That's remarkable.
It is. You know, I addressed this with the team this morning that right now, as before tonight's game, there's 13 teams with one win or two wins.
League-wide.
League-wide.
Right.
Okay, 13 teams. And then there's nine. Yeah, I mean, nine teams with three wins. But really, 13 teams that have one win or two wins. And every year, I think there's one year that, I think it was 2010 was the year, but and I went back a lot of years, that somebody always comes out of that group just, you know, out of the darkness of where we are right now and comes out and makes a playoff appearance. And so, you know, there is hope because it happens every year. It just, you know, some team gets on fire, very similar to my scenario in Buffalo where we won six in a row after losing first four. It's just, you know, why can't it be us?
Right.
And that's kind of the message. And I'm sure all the head coaches are saying that to their guys. Hey, why can't this be the team that takes off and runs with it?
That's got to be a hard job because in one sense you're painting a big picture and showing what's possible. And then in another picture saying, now focus on this week. Don't see
it
the
is.
Big picture, isn't it?
Yeah, it
How
is.
How do you balance that?
Well, that's what I did. Last week was the big picture.
Okay.
That's the bye week was the big picture. Today, the emphasis is Oakland. I mean, we want to talk about all the teams where they're at. And you don't want to go, well, look at your schedule, look at, you know, where you're going or who's coming here. You just can't do that. We're behind right now, like we are in a game. We are behind in the schedule. And we've got to score points when we're behind, and we've got to score a win. And we got to do it one at a time. And so Oakland is obviously the big emphasis, and it really will be when we get into Wednesday's introduction to them.
Complete focus.
Complete focus on this one game. The now, where are we right now? And only worry about the now.
And I would guess that the team that makes that playoff run that you've talked about, that it seems always comes out of this, or at least the run to respectability, is the one that is able to do that.
Yes.
And not everybody looking and saying, okay, now we've got the Titans this week and they're struggling. And
no, you can't worry about anybody else and who they're playing and what has to happen in any other game. You just have to worry about it's really about us. It's not even about Oakland. It's about us. How well we execute, how well we do the little things, how well we finish things. There's a lot of things we emphasized this morning about what we need to do in order to make a run like that.
All right. We've got one more segment with head coach Mike Mularkey. We'll come back and get you ready for the Jaguars-Raiders game on Sunday in Oakland when we return to the Jaguars on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back. A couple more minutes with the head coach here as we get set to go out to Oakland to take on the Raiders. And you talked about going out there on Friday. That's an interesting place to play. When you were at the Steelers, I know, you know.
Oh, that's a big rivalry.
That
Pittsburgh
oh,
and,
yeah.
and Oakland. Still, I mean, it's...
we'll never diminish.
That never goes away. I mean, growing up as a kid when I was watching the Steelers as a young man, I was a Steelers fan growing up. I always remember the Raiders rivalry with John
the Holy Madden, Wars back in the
Madden
70s.
And Chuck Knoll and the playoffs and the immaculate reception. That one play alone was the one that got me to be a fan of the Steelers, watching that play.
Sparked it.
Yeah, but it's a great place to play. It is
colorful.
Very colorful.
Kind of like Halloween Horror Nights at Universal, but it's in a football stadium.
It's great people watching.
Exactly what I meant, Coach. That's exactly what I meant.
No, it's a great environment. They're very passionate about their team, and it'll be loud.
Your team has played well in two road games. Darn near won the one, lost in overtime, as we all know, and then played well coming back and winning the ball game in Indianapolis. What does that tell you about, you know, a young team that may have struggled at home, but they're okay on the road?
Well, that's typically the opposite. It's hard to win on the road, and our guys have played better on the road, and I'm hoping we can continue to do that. We got a couple, you know, tough road games going to Oakland and then Green Bay following that, but at least those two games we have played well. Our guys know that. It's good for us. It'll give us some confidence. Yeah. Get even though we're sitting where we're at. I think that's a confidence.
I would say so, because I was asking you earlier about building some confidence back up. Well, okay, that might be the truth here at home right now, but on the road, I would think these guys have some.
They do. They do. And you know, wind will bring it back wherever we're playing, away or at home. And we got to get over that bad quarter we just went through a week ago, and a win will make that go away much quicker.
All right, special teams will obviously be a big factor. And I hate that I always come to the end of the show before I talk about special teams. Someday remind me and I'll start the show with it, because it's that important. But they've got two great kickers, Sebastian Janikowski, as we all know, in this neck of the woods from Florida State. And the Leckler kid is one of the strongest legs that we've ever seen in the NFL as a punter. They can really change the dynamic.
They definitely can. You're talking about Hall of Fame type of players. I mean, they've been there a long time. They've
13
been there
years each.
13 years each. They're game changers when we ask about special teams. And it's funny you said that, because special teams usually is the third phase always talked about. So I make it a point, even in meetings, to start with special teams. I actually rotate them to let you know that all three phases are equally important. So I'll remind you.
Do. Yeah, or Bonamago is going to remind me at some point.
Or he will. But no, they've got a good unit there, and those two kickers, a lot like ours, can change field positions. Leckler has always done that, and Sebastian just seems to just keep bombing it out of the stadium, and he's been doing it for a long time.
Any jet lag worry about Scobie spending the week over in England? Because he's got to make the across the ocean, now across the country.
No, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, he probably will be.
That was probably good for him, but he represented the Jaguars over in London. We had a good showing over there with Shad, and I know Josh went over there and represented us very well.
You bet. Anyone who saw any of the interviews or read any of the stories, you understand. And anyone who knows Josh knows that he rose to the occasion with that one. One quick thought then on your rookie punter and coming out of the bye week. So far, so good with the way that he has performed. He's going back to his home area there in the Bay Area. I'm eager to see what he can do, not just this week, but over the second half of the season.
Yeah, I'd like to see him continue what he's done. He is, I would say he'd be a game wrecker if you're looking at special teams, a guy that can change, obviously, the field like he has. I mean, some of those punts like last week, the 66-yard punt was big. So I'd like to see him just continue doing what he's doing and maybe a little better.
Great. Hey, Coach, thanks for your time.
Thanks,
best of luck
Ryan.
This week as we get ready for the Raiders.
Thank you.
That's the head coach of the Jaguars, Mike Mularkey. You can join us every Monday night for the Mike Mularkey Show.